Last time on Jonathan Park and the Arctic Adventure.
Welcome back from break and to the most exciting TV show on the Nature Adventure Channel, Battle of the World U.
Team leader Dr. Shannon Hunt, where are we going?
We're going in search of Tiktaalik.
We're going to Ellesmere Island.
Dad! Dad!
What's wrong, Katie?
Ryan and I crashed the quad.
What? Oh, are you okay?
A medical center in Grice Fjord. We'll need to get him there.
Katie, I'm gonna send you in the helicopter with Ryan.
What was that?
Oh, I don't believe it. The blades are freezing up.
What? What's that mean?
It means we're going down.
We're gonna be stranded out in the Arctic wilderness.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Arctic Adventure.
Oh, my arm!
Oh, it looks like it got pretty banged up during the impact.
I don't know what's wrong with the helo. I keep trying to kick the engine over, but it just won't start. Mayday, mayday. This is N19-62 Sierra Romeo to Grice Fjord. Base, do you copy? Nothing.
No satellite cell service either.
Boy, I'm feeling kind of dizzy.
We have to get you to a medical clinic as soon as possible. And I need to get a radio signal. The surest bet is that peak over there.
Sir, you might be able to get reception on that small ridge right over there. Well, do you see it? About 300 yards from here.
No offense, miss, but I don't want to waste my time by heading the opposite direction just to find out there's no signal. And I'm betting that peak over there is a sure shot.
What?
If I leave now, I should be able to get back in a few hours and we'll get him the medical help he needs.
You're leaving us?
Well, look, see those clouds? There's a storm heading our way, and this helicopter's the safest place around. I'm leaving some water here in the front and a couple energy bars. I'll see you guys by late afternoon.
No!
Before we remove this fossil, I'm going to sketch out the orientation of the fossil, the sediment around it, and show how much is exposed.
And Mariah, you're getting coordinates mapped out?
Yes, got them, Glenn.
And Dwayne, you've been photographing this thing?
Plenty of pictures and plenty of video.
Well then, this team is a well-oiled machine.
So, did we find a complete Tiktaalik fossil?
My dreams. Jesse, paleontologists rarely find a complete fossil. It looks like we have two fossils close to each other. See, we have just a tip of the skull in this one, and I think we're looking at another skull just barely poking out here.
So how much of Tiktaalik have they discovered up to this point?
Jonathan, the original discoverers of Tiktaalik have found the complete skull, neck, front fins, and ribs. They haven't uncovered the entire lower section of the animal, but many more people will be up here for the next several years, so more may be discovered.
Guys, here. Let me get a close-up on this.
Why, look at that. It looks like the tip of a front fin. Yes, that is one of the most important parts. Kendall, are you familiar with the fin on Tiktaalik?
Uh-huh.
Well, in this fin, there are very specialized structures. We see a wrist-like set of bones, and it looks like the beginning of the formation of digits or toes.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that Tiktaalik's fins were evolving slowly into those of a tetrapod.
Again, you're seeing the data through your evolutionary eyes. Now, you must admit that there is a big gap between the fin of Tiktaalik and the closest land-dwelling animal. The thing that you've not explained is how accidental mutations change that fin into a foot. And even if you could, there are even bigger problems.
What are they, Dad?
Well, to show the evolution of fish to land-dwelling tetrapods, they've made a chart and lined up the animals in the order in which they believed it happened. On the left, we see that we start with a fish, and each animal to the right is supposed to be getting more tetrapod-like. Until by the time we get to the right of the chart, we have a full land-dwelling animal.
Exactly. We can line up the actual fossils we found and place them in order of evolution.
But here's the problem. First, the fossils need to be found in the right order of geologic layers. Second, the progression of the fossils needs to show smooth progress as the animal changes. And third, each step in the progression must show the animal improving.
Are you saying that the evolution from fish to tetrapods doesn't meet these requirements?
Well, when we compare the fins of these creatures, there is not a smooth progression in the shape of the fin. First, we start off with a basic fin. Then the next one suddenly has a bunch of small bone fragments. Then the next one has fewer. And then the bone fragments disappear from the next one. And then comes Tiktaalik, which is back to having small bone segments again. And then comes a tetrapod, which looks a lot different. So when we look at the fins, it doesn't really meet the requirements for an evolutionary sequence.
Boy, Katie, my arm is hurting really bad.
Oh, well, try not to move it, Ryan. We're kind of in a tough spot here. Do you realize that our moms and your dad think we're at the fossil site? And the people at the fossil site think we're on our way to Grice Fjord? I guess it's up to the Lord to take care of us.
What do you think he wants us to do? Should we just stay here until the pilot comes back?
I don't know, Ryan. Let's pray.
Okay. Dear Lord, please keep us safe.
And please give me wisdom to know what to do to take care of Ryan.
Amen. Let's remember Psalm 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance.
That's true. He is our shelter. Well, remember our survival training?
Yeah.
I guess we know what to do next.
Make a distress signal.
Right, Ryan. We'll use these rocks right around here and make a triangle with an eye in it to signal that you're injured.
Okay. Should we be recording this?
Good idea. I'll go get it.
What a trek. This peak is further than it looks. Okay, now to get in touch with... What? No signal. How's that even possible? On my phone! No, not all the way down the hill. Oh! Ow! Oh!
Hello?
Miles, it's Devin.
You're back in Grice Fjord? What happened at the camp? Did you hide the meat under their tent?
Yes, it worked just like you predicted. A pack of wolves showed up and scared them. The ladies, Jim, and the babies caught a helicopter back here to town.
Yes! That's perfect! They lost a big part of their team. But if we're going to keep the Creation Response Team from winning this episode, then we need to take out the rest of them.
I think fate is on your side. Before I left the site, I saw another helicopter come in. They loaded Katie and Ryan in and then flew off. I figured he'd be at Grice Fjord, but there's no sign of them. I'll bet that helo went down between the fossil site and here.
Really? Who else knows this?
Unless they were able to establish radio contact, nobody.
Okay, we don't want anyone in Grice Fjord to find out about this, or they'll send out a rescue team. I want you to get to the airfield and invent a story about why they haven't heard from the Hilo.
I'll tell them that the Hilo radio broke, and that the pilot is making repairs at the network's camp.
Good. Now next, I want you to contact anyone at the campsite and tell them that Katie and Ryan are lost. If that doesn't distract Kendall, nothing will.
Katie, my arm is throbbing so bad.
Okay, well, let's stop. I think our distress signal's easily visible from the air.
I think so, too. Katie, aren't you cold without your coat?
Yes, I'm freezing. I can't believe that it accidentally went in the other helicopter to Grice Fjord with Mom. It's been 6 hours since the pilot left us here. He should have been back long before now. And if we try to look for him, we could get lost. The best thing for him and us is to make radio contact with our team.
Then let's go.
Kendall, let's start getting ready to get these fossils into a plaster jacket.
Okay, guys, I've got my video camera going again. I'd love to get a little more footage of the two teams battling it out over this whole thing.
Kendall,
mm-hmm.
When you were last discussing the evolutionary chart that shows the progression from fish to land-dwelling creature, I feel that you totally zoomed in on the fins and missed the big picture. I want to get your response to the fact that we can line up these fossils in an order that very clearly shows fish becoming more tetrapod-like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel, as a geologist, you're familiar with the dates of these fossils in your chart. The irony is the evolutionary progression on the chart is contradicted by the evolutionary dates assigned to these creatures.
Have you got an example?
Why don't you give me the fossil dates of two fish, say, Pandarichthys and Euthynopteron?
Pandarichthys is believed to be about 385 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Euthynopteron is about 370 million years ago.
So Pandarichthys is older than Euthynopteron?
Yes.
Now, Glenn, which way do they appear on the evolutionary chart?
Euthynopteron, then Pandarichthys.
That's right.
Hmm.
According to their dates, these two fish are out of order on the chart.
I see what you're trying to do, Kendall, but you're assuming that as soon as a creature evolved, that it immediately appeared in the fossil record. Huh. It could just be that the fish did evolve in the order we predict. It just wasn't captured in the fossil record that
exactly.
way.
Oh, Glenn, with that kind of logic, would it be valid to say that mammals could have evolved at the same time as tetrapods, but they just didn't show up until later in the fossil record?
Kendall, you know I don't believe that.
Well, I was just using your same logic. But when it comes to out-of-order fossils, you also have a problem with the two land-dwelling animals found in your chart. Evolutionary theory believes that Acanthostega evolved into Ichthyostega, yet the two of these creatures supposedly lived at the same time.
Yes, we believe they evolved at the same time, but in two completely different geographic locations, Kendall.
That's right.
So how could the chart be showing one evolving into the other when they lived at the same time in two different locations?
So what are you saying, Kendall?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to demonstrate that when it comes to this evolution from fish to land-dwelling animals, it's not as clear-cut as you make it out to be. There are some serious problems with your theory. Again, the third requirement for an evolutionary sequence is that fossils are in the right order, but this progression fails in this way.
This is Ryan reporting with the video cam from the creation response team. We're away from the rest of the group in the middle of nowhere. Our helicopter has crashed and the pilot has been gone for 7 hours. My arm is broken and it really hurts. And Katie is freezing without her jacket. We are trying to get up this bridge to make radio contact before a big storm hits and the temperature takes a serious drop. I think I'm getting awfully cold. Do you remember the signs of hypothermia?
Yes.
Ryan, I want you to watch me closely.
Okay.
Let me know if I start thinking irrationally.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get up this ridge. We're almost there.
Katie, stop! I want you to take my jacket.
No. You keep it on, Ryan.
No, Katie. We'll keep treating.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I just wish I...
Oh, be careful. Your arm. Here, let me help you get that off. Ryan, careful!
Katie!
Let me help you up!
I landed on my arm!
Ryan, you look as white as a ghost!
I feel as though I'm gonna pass out.
Oh,
wow, that hurt! Let the pain on my arm just settle down for a minute.
Okay, let's just stop for a minute. You need a quick break.
No, the longer we sit, the colder it's gonna get for you. Besides, we still don't have a signal yet. We need to get a little higher. Got to go on.
All right, let's get going.
Hey, Jonathan, how's it going?
Great, we've got the fossil ready to go.
Jesse, we haven't heard from Katie since they landed back in Grice Fjord. I wonder if one of you should ride up to our radio sweet spot and find out what the doctor said about Ryan's arm.
I should also check my voicemail. I was supposed to give our board a report on how it's going up here. I'll go with you.
Is that okay with you, Dr. Park?
Yes, Jesse. It's good to have an adult along.
Get on the back, Jesse. I'll drive.
All right. One second.
Here we go.
Hello? Devin?
Yes. I just wanted to let you know that I've been trying every 10 minutes to reach them back at the camp. They're down in a low area at the fossil site and must not be getting any reception.
Devin, we need to get through. The sooner Kendall starts his search, the sooner he quits providing evidence for his case. And then we'll have kept our promise to Arachnid Sportswear.
And the sooner we'll see those big sponsorship bucks.
Boy, it sure has cooled off.
That storm is due here in a few hours. We should be in the radio sweet spot. Give it a try.
Katie! Katie, are you there? Nothing. Oh, your cell's ringing.
Hello? Hi, honey. How's school? You know we had an agreement this time that you wouldn't quit in the middle of... No. No, honey. You need to talk to your father because I'm on a mission right now. Honey? Honey? I want you to be strong. I gotta go. Bye.
I didn't know you had a daughter.
Yes, I do. She's your age, actually, and has been to all the best schools.
Where does she go when you're on missions?
It's a boarding school.
Wow, what a surprise to find out that you have a family.
I guess the subject just never come up between us.
So what's her name?
It's Elizabeth. She looks a bit like you.
Oh, look! It's Mr. Zane and Jonathan on the other quad.
Hey, Jack! What are you doing up here?
I'm glad you guys are still here.
Mr. Gibbons realized that if we want to get out of here before the storm hits, we need to make arrangements for a helo to pick us up in the next few hours.
Helco Jesse? Are you there?
Yes, Ryan, how are you? I can barely hear you.
Listen, the helo never made it to the hospital.
What?
What?
We think we went down about 40 miles from camp. Katie's starting to show signs of hypothermia. We need help.
Can you get us your coordinates?
Yes.
Ryan, we'll get someone to you as quickly as possible.
Jonathan, get on the quad. We're going after them.
Yes, sir.
That storm's a-coming.
Well, what should we do?
Get back to camp and rally everyone together. We need to get them out of here before that thing hits.
Dwayne, can you roll video? I have some tough questions that I would like to ask Kendall.
Sure, this sounds exactly like what we're after here.
Kendall, we both agree that Tiktaalik is a fish. But you have not discussed the fact that it has several tetrapod-like features, like the skull that looks very much like an early tetrapod. The fact that it has nostrils on its snout, its lungs.
Well, Daniel, I don't deny that Tiktaalik has some attributes similar to land-dwelling animals, just like I don't deny that the platypus has a duck bill, or that humans have an eye that's similar to a squid. You look at common traits and assume that they came from the same ancestor. I look at common traits and say that they came from the same creator.
But Kendall, when it comes to fish and amphibians, we see a clear evolutionary progression.
Glenn, I want to give you an answer that will not sound very scientific, okay? And that's because it's a story that paints an analogy. It's about the evolution of cars.
The evolution of cars? What are you talking about?
If one day I made up my mind that cars had evolved, what would I do to prove my case?
You would have to find evidence.
That's right. I could go to the junkyard.
Okay.
Well, first, I come across a wheel and decide that this may be the way that it all started out. Next, I find an old bicycle with two wheels, and then a tricycle with three. Then there's a little red wagon with four wheels. Then I find an old Volkswagen Bug. Its design is simple, and the engine is in the back. I look further, and I find a family car, with the engine now in the front, disc brakes and power steering, and... Then I continue my search and now unearth a fast red sports car. Its aerodynamics, fast engine, and sleek design tell me that I've come a long way since that first tire.
Oh, this means nothing, Kendall. You're just making stuff up.
Daniel, if I go to the junkyard with my mind already made up that car evolution is true, then everything I find can be put into an order that fits an evolutionary progression. And when I look at that progression, it is convincing. The problem is that cars did not evolve. Every single one of them was designed and built separately from each other.
Kendall, you are comparing apples to oranges here. We're talking about the progression of evolution, and you're talking about cars designed by man.
I believe that the evidence of the Creator is all around us. In Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse."
Kendall, are you saying that we are without excuse?
No.
Good.
God does.
What?
And cut. Wow, what an exchange. That was great.
Katie, come on, keep moving. We're almost back to the helicopter.
But it's getting warmer.
Warmer? The temperature's really dropped in the last half hour. You're starting to go hypothermic on me.
Oh, look, it's them.
Who? Jonathan and Mr. Zane.
Katie, Ryan, you guys are okay.
We need to get these two back to the shelter of the helicopter.
Are you doing okay, Katie?
Well, now that we're back in the helicopter...
Ryan?
Oh, Jonathan, my arm is killing me. But it's good to be out of the cold.
Well, what's Mr. Zane doing back there on the tail?
It sounds like he's taking it apart.
Yeah.
I wonder where our original pilot is.
I know.
Well, this pilot's ready to go find him.
How'd he go, Mr. Zane?
I don't know. We'll find out in a minute, won't we?
What was the problem?
Oh, the rotor brakes were clamped down. Fortunately, I've worked on a few Robinson R-44s before, and I knew right where the rotor brake relay was located. So, let's give this baby a try.
Yeah! All right, good job, Mr. Zane!
Now, Katie, where did you say that pilot was headed the last time you saw him?
Well, see that peak right over there?
Yeah. Let's see if we can find him. And then we're headed to Greisfjord to drop you guys off at the medical center. And then I better get back to the camp to pick up the others.
So, where did you say you are, Devin?
I'm at the lodge in Greisfjord.
What's happening?
Jack from the Explorer Society rescued Katie and Ryan.
What?
And now both teams are back here in Greisfjord. A storm is raging. It ended their mission a little sooner than they had planned.
Did Kendall get in all his little creation evidences for the camera?
Yes, I believe so.
No! Devin, we failed! creation response team wins this episode, Arachnid Sportswear is definitely going to drop their sponsorship, and we'll lose hundreds of thousands of dollars!
Miles, it's them. They're coming into the lobby area. I've got to go.
Much as I enjoy nature, it sure is nice to be safe and cozy indoors like this.
And Mr. Zane, thank you for being the answer to our prayers.
Hey, I was glad to help, and so was our pilot buddy. If we hadn't picked him up when we did, they said he would not have made it.
I heard the storm's supposed to be lifting later this afternoon. We need to get back to Orlando, so I want everyone packed up and ready to go.
Good idea. Right. Come on, everyone.
Let's go.
Oh, back to our
app. Shannon, can we talk to you for just a moment before you go?
Sure. What's up?
Jesse was telling us about your daughter, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Well, we didn't know you had a daughter.
I guess we were just a little surprised because you had never said a word about her.
All right. I think I see what this is about. The two moms are here to lecture me about how to raise my daughter.
No, Shannon. We didn't want to...
Don't you miss being with her?
Of course I do. But we both understand the opportunities that we've been given.
But you only have a short season with Elizabeth. And then it will be over. She'll be gone.
She is your ultimate opportunity. And I'm afraid you're losing out on it. We don't want you to succeed at your career, but lose your daughter.
Back at camp, I told you two that you frustrated me, and I didn't know why. But now I'm starting to understand. Because you've chosen your little way of life, and you expect that everyone should live just like you.
But
even though we have to be together for the next two missions, let's just try to avoid each other. I don't want to say things that I don't mean out of anger. And I'm sure as Christians, you feel the same way.
Well, Angela, I don't think that went so well.
Let's start praying for her every morning in our devotional. I'm going to ask the Lord if it might be His will that He'd do a miracle and grab onto her heart.
I will too. For now, let's get packed and ready for our trip to Orlando.
Bob, can we roll tape?
If I go to the junkyard with my mind already made up that car evolution is true, then everything I find can be put into an order that fits an evolutionary progression. The problem is that cars did not evolve. Every single one of them was designed and built separately from each other.
So, Explorer Society, how do you respond?
I'll answer that. I mean, for years, we have heard creationists bellyache because we could never provide a good example of a transitional fossil. And now here we have an excellent example.
Look at the screen, Devin. This is where we failed. Kendall's passionate speech was being made during the time when his daughter was lost in the wilderness. If we had succeeded, he would have been out there looking for her instead of making it.
The Explorer Society could still win.
I don't believe so. And now we've lost our biggest sponsor ever. Devin, we may have lost this time, but the next episode will be different. We are stopping the creation response team cold in their tracks. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
An indisputable fact.
Kendall, do you have a response to Daniel before we let the audience vote?
They see Tiktaalik as a transitional fossil. As a creationist, I see Tiktaalik as another amazing variation of fish made by the Creator.
Well, both teams have fought hard to gather evidence for their worldview. But which one will walk away with a second place prize of $50,000, and who will walk away with $100,000? It's time to find out. Studio audience, the decision is yours. In front of your seats, you'll notice an electronic tallying device. When you register your votes, they will automatically be shown on this huge display behind me. Okay, it's time for the Battle of the Worldviews. Audience, cast your votes.
It looks close.
All right, we have our vote in. And who's the winner?
Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. It appears to be the Creation Response Team.
This was a close one. 49% of you voted for the Explorer Society, 51% for the Creation Response Team. I've heard Katie Park will be receiving the check this week for the Creation Response Team. Come on up here, Katie. I have a check for your team in the amount of $100,000.
Thank you so much.
And here you go, Dr. Hunt. A nice little consolation check in the amount of $50,000.
Thank you, Willie.
And that's it for this week's edition of Battle of the Worldviews.
Battle of the Worldviews is a production of the Nature Adventure Channel, all rights reserved. Make sure to join us next time as we pit the Explorers Club against their arch nemesis, the Creation Response Team, right here on the Battle of the Worldviews.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Arctic Adventure. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team and Explorers Society investigate the origin of life on the bottom of the sea in Jonathan Park and the Journey into the Deep.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.